السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
Allah Yusuf, I had been raising my hands. He did not bring me inside. He did not allow me to speak.
I'm sorry, out of the class.
No problem, inshallah. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, in our last class we discussed the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that our children could make us become a bit stingy, and our children could make us become a bit coward, I mean, in our approach to an issue. May Allah protect us all from this. And we ended that class upon the note that no matter how dearly held our children are to us in our hearts, we should not forget to place everything in all our expenses. Place everything in their right places. Give your children their rights and be sure that you have also done sufficient charity, so that trying to bring the children to a life of comfort and extreme luxury does not make you become, on the other hand, stingy. And likewise also, we should learn to be very brave in our dealings with our children, so that, as they say, even an overprotection of the child spoils the child. I think this is what Al-Imam al-Bukhari desired to make us understand after telling us a lot of narrations that will encourage us to take care of our children. In taking care of our children, we should be sure that care, that attention, that comfort we want to bring to them, that goodness, that good upbringing we want to bring to them, does not now make us become people who show stinginess or acts of cowardice because of our zeal and, of course, our passion to bring comfort to our children and take good care of them. May Almighty Allah protect us. In the continuation of the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, we go to the next chapter, which is hadith number 86. In hadith number 86, it comes under the chapter heading Babu Haml al-Sabi'i ala al-Atiq. Babu Haml al-Sabi'i ala al-Atiq. The chapter about carrying our children, carrying the child on the shoulder. This is from the ways of relating with our children. Some of the people are so far away from their child, they would hardly remember ever carrying their children upon their shoulders. And this is one of the things children really, really enjoy. Children really enjoy being carried on the shoulders, especially the male children. It's something of joy and delight for them when you carry them, you bring them to yourself and you place them on your shoulders. Some of the people think that they are so much of a sheikh. This is fadila to sheikh. So he has no chance to have that kind of a play with his son, not to say a daughter. Some of the people think that, oh, I am an MD of a multinational. Is that the reason why you cannot carry your child and place the child on the shoulders, show affection to this child in the way you carry the child and bring this child to your body? Some of the people think, oh, I am the head of so-so and so-so. All these thoughts and assumptions that we have given ourselves. Some of the people may think, oh, I am a serving major general, for example, in the army. I can't carry a child. How does it mean that a general in the army is carrying a child? You will hear what the best of all human beings, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you will hear his approach to his own children. sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So regarding this narration from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has placed it on the Babu Haml al-Sadiq al-Atiq, the chapter of placing the children, placing a child al-Atiq, placing a kid on our shoulders, which is from the aspects of showing love and affection for our children. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Abu al-Walid, Qala Haddathana Shu'bah, عن عدي بن ثابت قال سمعت البراء يقول رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والحسن صلوات الله عليه على آتقه وهو يقول اللهم إني أحبه فأحبه اللهم إني أحبه فأحبه. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا أبو الوليد قال حدثنا شعبة عن عدي بن ثابت قال سمعت البراء يقول رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والحسن صلوات الله عليه على عاتقه وهو يقول اللهم إني أحبه فأحبه. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this hadith from his Shaykh Abu al-Walid. And we remember that the first hadith in this book itself was reported from Abu al-Walid. And Abu al-Walid is Hisham ibn Abdul Malik al-Tayalisi. He's the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. And he has reported from his Shaykh, the same Shaykh from whom he reported the first hadith, Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, one of the scholars of Islam. I'm from amongst the eminent leading scholars, amongst the scholars of Hadith, Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, Abu Isfar. And Adi ibn Thabit, he has reported from his Shaykh Adi ibn Thabit. Adi ibn Thabit is the Tabi'i of this Hadith. The Tabi'i from amongst the students of the companions who reported this Hadith was Adi ibn Thabit. So this Hadith, the Tabi'i of the Hadith is عدي ابن ثابت رحمه الله. قال سمعت البراء يقول. I heard براء. This is براء ابن عازب from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. براء ابن عازب was also a young companion and himself رضي الله عنه was an eminent companion and learned from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So Adi ibn Thabit said, سمعت البراء يقول. I heard براء ibn عازب رضي الله عنه. I heard him saying that رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And when I saw him, at the time when I saw him, he was such that والحسن صلوات الله عليه على عاتقه. And Hassan is the sibt of the Rasul alayhi salam, that is the son of his daughter, radiyallahu anha Fatima, Ummu Abiha, radiyallahu anha. So Bara ibn Azib related an incident when he saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wal Hassan salawatullahi alayhi ala atiqihi. And the Prophet was such that Al-Hasan, the grandchild of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, from his daughter Fatima radiyallahu anha ala atikihi, was on the Prophet's shoulders sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa huwa yaqul. And in that instance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was saying that Allahumma inni uhibbu. Oh Allah, inni uhibbuhu. Certainly I love this boy. Fa'ahibbahu. Love him, oh Allah. Oh Allah, I love this boy. Fa'ahibbahu. So love him, oh Allah. This hadith, Bara ibn Azib said, Ra'aytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wal-hasan. like we said, Hassan is the first child of Fatima radiallahu anha from Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Hassan, his kunya was Abu Muhammad. Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, the son of the messenger, the grandson of the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam from Fatima, and Ali ibn Abi Talib, his kunya was Abu Muhammad. And he was born in the third year after Hijrah, 3 years after the messenger's migration alayhi salatu wasalam from Makkah to Medina, Hassan was born. That would mean that when the Prophet passed away alayhi salatu wasalam, he would be in the range of 7 years and a few months old when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam passed away. Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib will be in the range of age 7 and thereabouts. So this little young boy, radiallahu anhu, was very, very playful, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to play with him. Inshallah, in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, there are other reports about the play between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hassan, radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Barat ibn Azib, saw him placing Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Muhammad, his grandchild, on his shoulders. This is the Prophet Rasulu Rabbi al-Alami, the messenger of the Lord of all that exists. He has the time, he has the full mind to do this. Your child, we read in the hadith yesterday that Al-Imam al-Bukhari collected rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam akhaza Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam Ibrahim. The Prophet would carry his son Ibrahim, faqabbalahu, he would kiss that boy, wa shammahu, and he would be this kind of a thing. And if we go to the books of Hadith and to the books of Tariq, we would find that this incident was not only reported by Al-Bara, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried Hassan on his shoulder, was not reported by Al-Bara ibn Azib alone. Many companions reported many incidences wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried his son on his shoulder, alayhi salatu wasalam, wherein he carried them. There's a report, I think that also occurs in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making khutbah, and the boys, these two boys, Al-Hassan and his brother Hussein, they were walking towards the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forced the khutbah. He went down to carry the boy, alayhi salatu wasalam. Khutbah, he went down and carried this boy, alayhi salatu wasalam. And in one of those occasions, when he went and carried this boy, that was Hassan radiallahu anhu, and this same Hassan, he was looking at the people, and he was looking at Hassan. He was looking at the people, he was looking at Hassan. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ibni hadha sayyidun. This my son, referring to Hassan, Sayyid, is a leader. And don't forget that he told us in the hadith that Hassan and Hussein, they are from Sayyidan Shababi Ahlul Jannah. They are the two leaders of the young people, of the youth of Al-Jannah, radiyallahu anhumah. The leaders of the youth of Al-Jannah would be Hassan and Hussein. Of course, that also involves a clear-cut statement that Hassan and Hussein will be inside the Al-Jannah. So the people amongst the companions who will be in Al-Jannah are not restricted to the 10 that are mentioned in a single hadith. Those 10 are usually mentioned as 10 who were given the glad tidings of Al-Jannah because they were mentioned in a single hadith. Otherwise, there are many hadiths that show the rest and other companions who were mentioned to be from the people of Al-Jannah. You can see here now, Hassan al-Hussein in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned them as the Yudan and Shababi al-Jannah, two leaders of the young people inside the Al-Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion, he carried Hassan and he was looking preciously at Hassan. He was also looking at the people that he was addressing. He had passed a khutbah to carry that boy, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then when he carried him, he said, pointing to Hassan, after he had passed the khutbah and carried Hassan, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, inna abni haza sayyidun, this my son, meaning Hassan, sayyidun, he is a leader. Wala alla allaha an yusliha bihi bayna fi'atayn min al-muslimin. ولعل الله أن يصلح بين فئتين من المسلمين. And perhaps Allah would make him a means of reconciliation between two large groups amongst the Muslims. And we remember that in Amul Jama'a, as the scholars of Sunnah call that year, the 40th year exactly after the Prophet Hijrah, year 40 of Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions, the two groups, the group of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and the group of Ali ibn Abi Talib that was now led by Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib after the passing away of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Hassan radiallahu anhu became the Amir of the people of Iraq. And then he, instead of going into a battle and continuing in the field with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he relinquished the position of Imara, the position of the head, to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And by way of fulfilling this prophecy, this statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Hassan will be a means of reconciling between two large parties amongst the Muslims. The large party were the party of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and those of Ali ibn Abi Talib that was headed by Hassan after the demise, the martyrdom of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. So this became the means of reconciling between these two large groups amongst the Muslims. After that reconciliation in the 40th year of Hijrah, Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib returned to Medina, radiallahu anhu. So we felt that we saw the realization of this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 40th year after the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this boy was a little young boy, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to place him on the shoulder. And that is a major point of benefit for the rest of us in this hadith. Don't say, I am too busy, I don't have the time to play with my children as a father. I was surprised when once, about a month ago, someone was asking me, Abu Nasser, do you ever have the time to play with children? I say, well, I play with every child. I don't have a child that I don't play with. I don't have a child that I don't have a particular joke. We have a kind of way of joking. And we have a kind of way of enjoying ourselves. So for the sake of Allah, we all should pay attention to paying attention to our children. It's not all about ice cream. It's not all about yogurt. The Prophet in this hadith only placed this boy on his shoulders and was playing with him. In another report that inshallah we'll come back to see in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that boy was coming and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approaching. And it was reported that the boy ran to the left, the Prophet ran towards him, the boy ran to the left, the Prophet ran towards him. You can see this kind of a joke between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his grandchild. So let us pay attention to paying attention, give our companionship, give our children some sense of a companionship that we can be with them, they can be with us. It's not all about luxury, it's not all about looking for comfort, but actually making them feel a sense of belonging, a sense of companionship.
it will improve upon how humane. One of the reasons people have dropped PT in our own times is that children are far from their parents. They have not actually enjoyed PT. They have not actually enjoyed humaneness from parents. That's why you find many of the women these days, they even find it to place their child on the back. Women find it difficult now to place the child on the back, that the child, your child feels your warmth and you feel his warmth. The boy is with you or the girl is with you. So this kind of feeling of humaneness, pity, compassion, and very, very passionate love for children has increased. So what happens in response is that those children will be so hard-hearted and they will be so hardly humane. That's what you find that if you go to secondary schools now, we know what we hear about children and how wicked some of the children have become. Why? He does not have any sense of pity or togetherness from his father. Right from day one, he's been in a boarding house, in primary school, boarding house, secondary school, and in the university, she or he was in a boarding house. So how will this boy feel any sense of humaneness, any sense of pity, any sense of togetherness, any sense of companionship, any sense of deep love? So the attention was removed from the parents to material. All that the child wants is just give me ice cream, just give me yogurt, just give me cake. That's all the people have turned their children into. And the results are the kind of children that we have seen. So let us all pay good attention to giving ourselves, our companionship, our body, our time to our children so that they know that they have a father who used to have a kind of particular play with them when they grow up. And then they know that the way to relate with the people is through being easy and, of course, playing with the people, opening up to the people and the like of this, and not by way of showing hardness and hard-heartedness to the people. May Allah forgive all of us. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would place his grandchild on his shoulder, and as he did that, wa huwa yakul, he would be saying alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma uhib, inni uhibbuhu. Oh Allah, inni uhibbuhu. I certainly love this boy. Fa ahibbahu. Love him, oh Allah. Allahumma inni uhibbuhu. Fa ahibbahu. Oh Allah, I love this boy. So love him. So this love was well known amongst the companions. The love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his son and his brother Hassan and Hussein was a love that was well known by the companions. And you know them, they usually like to do exactly as the Prophet will do. One of the Tabi'un reported that one day Abu Bakr al-Siddiq led them in Salah, and that Salah was Salatul Asr. فَخَرَجَ فَرَأَى الْحَسَنَ ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib يَلْعَبْ. So when Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came out of the masjid, he saw Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib yell'ab, he saw him playing. فَأَخَذَهُ Ali, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq now took this boy. فَحَمَلَهُ عَلَىٰ عَاتِكِهِ Abu Bakr now placed Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib on his shoulders, just as the Prophet used to do. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa huwa yakul. And Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was saying that the Abi shabihum bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Abi Shabihun, I swear, Shabihun bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This boy really resembles the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Laysa Shabihan bi Ali. He does not look like Ali. Just like we know it. And it was reported that Ali was in that incident and he started laughing. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq carried Hassan, placed Hassan on his shoulder and saying that this boy resembles his grandfather. He does not resemble Ali. And Ali ibn Abi Talib started laughing. Radiallahu anhum. This was the kind of relationship that the companions, radiallahu anhum, had with children, generally speaking. They were open with the children. They were playful with the children. They were compassionate with the children. They were kind towards the children. And this is the kind of attitude that we should dispose regarding the children. We should show compassion to them. We should play with them. We should have time for them. We should talk to them. We should converse with them. How is it that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq will come out of the masjid, he saw Ali, he saw Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he will carry him and place him on the shoulder? And this is something we used to do in the past. Some of us, I still remember people who used to carry me on their shoulders. Still, as I speak now, I still remember people who used to carry me on their shoulders when I was a little young boy. So let us pay this kind of a good attention to our children. Pay attention to them. Play with them. Give them companionship. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our children pious children and to make us pious parents unto our children and to make us parents who will have time and attention for our children instead of monetizing the attention. These days, people have monetized the attention. All they want. They want the nanny to take the boys to a restaurant. They want the nanny to take the boys to somewhere. They want the nanny to take the boy to take the girl and so on. So the attention is about nanny. I think the nanny is the mother of the child. These kinds of attitudes should change from amongst us. May Allah protect us all and guide us all. All right. I think that will suffice regarding that hadith in which Bara ibn Azib said, رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والحسن صلوات الله عليه على آتك. I saw the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam while Hassan salawatullahi alayhi. Salawatullahi alayhi was employed for Hassan. One of the scholars, Sheikh Isam Musa Hadi, he said this is evidence that we can pray for Allah's salat on an individual. This is evidence that we can say to an individual salawatullahi alayhi or salawatullahi alayhi if the individual was absent in that city. Sheikh Isa Musa Hadi mentioned that in his sharh of this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And it is not restricted to Hassan alone. It is not restricted to Hussein alone. It is for everyone that we could say that dua for. But Al-Bara ibn Azib was saying this dua for Hassan out of love for Hassan, and the situation is a situation in which the Prophet showed his love for Hassan, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So out of that too, that dua was made for Hassan, and it is permissible to be made for any of the companions or any of the people amongst the Muslims. The Prophet placed this boy on his shoulder and then said, Allahumma inni uhibbuhu fa ahibbahu. Oh Allah, I love this boy. Love him too. But as with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the way we should handle the rest of human beings. We do not go beyond limits in our love for people. We know today that some of the people like the Shia, they refer to Hassan as a god and they pray to Hassan. In the situations of hardship and difficulty, they call him Atif or Hussein, or they refer to these people as if these people will remove hardship from them. All of these are from the aspects of going beyond bounds regarding our love for people. If we would not call the Prophet in the times of difficulty, why is it that it is any other human being that we will call on to in the time of difficulty or hardship? This is a wrong approach to practicing Islam. Don't go beyond limits. And the Prophet warned us, alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding this. That was why he himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet Allah told him to tell us in the Quran, "Qul innama ana basharun mithlukum yuha ilayya." I am a man, mithlukum, like you. The difference between us is that I receive revelation. So yes, even though Hassan and Hussein have been specially prayed for Allah's love here, this is not evidence now that our love should make us now begin to make dua and direct our dua to Hassan or direct our dua to Hussein. Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib died in about 51 or 52 years after Hijrah. He died in about 51, 52 years after Hijrah in Medina. Because after the Jama'ah, after his connecting between the two groups of Muslims, he returned to Medina and he died in Medina. Radiallahu anhu. Should you now be requesting a good deed? Should you now be requesting for protection for someone who had passed away? This is not from the Aqidah of Ahlul Islam. This is from the Aqidah of non-Muslims, the Kufar. And some of the Muslims have stolen from it, from, they have copied this bad attitude from them, from the non-Muslims. And you see them, you see the Muslims now praying to one Shehu or praying to one Baba somewhere and all of this. These are from the aspects of extremism that some of the Muslims have fallen into. So this hadith is not evidence that we should go beyond bounds regarding our love for Hassan or regarding our love for Hussein when we don't even go. And we are warned in the religion not to go beyond bounds regarding our love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think that will suffice regarding that hadith. تقدرى من هذا السيد رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والحسن صلوات الله عليه على أتكي أسواد المسنجر of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم while he was in the condition that Hassan was on his shoulder وهو يقول and he was saying out of play and love for this boy that اللهم إني أحبه فأحبه oh Allah I love this boy so love him I hope that we all can say that to our children someday I love this boy oh I love this girl as the case would be regarding our children. The next hadith is hadith number 87. And it is under the chapter heading, Babun al-waladu kurratul ayn. Al-waladu kurratul ayn. The chapter regarding the fact that our children, al-waladu, don't forget that we mentioned to us that the word al-walad could refer to boys and it could also refer to us girls. We mentioned that yesterday. And we cited a verse from the Quran. When they say al-walad, it could refer to our boys. It could also mean our girls. So this chapter heading says al-waladu qurratul ayn. Our children are a means of delight and comfort for our eyes. The fact that our children are a means of delight and comfort for our eyes. When will our children be light and comfort for us? When? How? What kind of children are those? What kind of children are Qurratul Ayun, as was used in the Quran when Allah told us about the dua of the pious people? They say, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina Qurrata Ayun. This Qurratul Ayn, the comfort of our eyes, that the pious people pray for. Allah, make my children comfort of my eyes, the delight of my heart, and the coolness of my tears of joy. When will that be? The scholars explain that is when those children are from the people of piety. The dua in that place was not referring to children who are looking very beautiful and handsome. No. When my children are looking so pompous, so beautiful, so handsome, so, you know, comfort, looking luxurious. Yes, this is Qurratul Ayn. I have personally seen and heard some of the women say that it is when they can dress their children in the best of clothes, that is when... they will be happy to say, hey, look at this boy. No, this is not the explanation of Qurratul Ayn at all. In fact, the early Muslims, Al-Imam Ikrimah Al-Barbar, the student, well-known student of Abdullah ibn Abbas and others amongst the companions, he says, Lam yuridu bizalika sabahatan wala jamala. When they were begging Allah, hablana min azwajna, they did not intend to say, give us children who are handsome, give us children who are looking very fine, they are wearing nice shirts, nice jeans, state of the art, Gucci wristwatches, and all of this. This is not what these people are referring to. وَلَكِنْ أَرَادُوا أَنْ يَكُونُوا مُطِيعِينَ وَلَكِنْ أَرَادُوا أَنْ يَكُونُوا مُطِيعِينَ But what these pious people refer to when they say Allah should give them Qurratul Ayun is that Allah should give them Muti'un, children who are obedient to Allah. That is the meaning of Qurratul Ayun, because you find some of the people, no matter how much of obedience to Allah that their children show from the very beginning of life, they are not happy because they think that they cannot buy the children the best of clothes. They cannot place them in most expensive of schools. They cannot buy them the best of shoes. They cannot buy them the best of all the best that the people have in terms of the things of the physical. This is not the meaning of Qurratul Ayun. Once your child is from amongst the people who worship Allah as is appropriate and avoid sin as is appropriate, this kind of child is already Qurratul Ayun. As far as the dua is already Qurratul Ayun, as far as the dua of the pious that, oh Allah, give us children who will be pious children to us. This is what they mean. It does not mean that Qurratul Ayun now refers to children who are, as we have described, We hope that this is one impression we have had over a long time about these matters. So what matters in a child that brings delight to the heart of the parents, that brings comfort to the eyes of the parents, is that this child is a mutia. This child is an obedient child, is a righteous child, is a pious child, inshallah, upon the path of righteousness. So which hadith is it that proves that the time that a child is Quratul Ain is when that child is upon righteous deeds? When your child is upon righteous deeds, that is your dua that you have asked for, that Allah should give us from our Zuriya Quratu Al-A'yun. So we'll read that hadith, and that hadith is from hadith of Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, radiyallahu anhu. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Bishr ibn Muhammad. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Bishr ibn Muhammad, qala, akhbarana Abdullah, qala, akhbarana Safwan ibn Amr, قال حدثني عبد الرحمن بن جبير بن نفيل عن أبيه قال جلسنا إلى المقداد بن الأسود يوما فمر به رجل فقال طوبى لهاتين العينين اللتين رأتا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والله لوجدنا أنا رأينا ما رأيت وشهدنا ما شهدت فتغضب فجعلت أعجب ما قال إلا خيرا ثم أقبل عليه فقال ما يحمل الرجل على ما يحمل الرجل على أن يتمنى محضرا قيضه الله عنه لا يدري لو شهده كيف يكون فيه والله لقد حضر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أقوام كبهم الله على مناخرهم في جهنم لم يجيبوه ولم يصدقوه أولا تحمدون الله إذ أخرجكم لا تعرفون إلا ربكم فتصدقون بما جاء به نبيكم قد كفيتم البلاء بغيركم والله لقد بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على أشد حال بعث عليها نبي قط في فترة وجاهلية ما يرون أن دينا أفضل من عبادة الأوثان فجاء بفرقان فرق به بين الحق والباطل وفرق به بين الوالد وولده حتى إن كان الرجل ليرى والده أو ولده أو أخاه كافرا وقد فتح الله قفل قلبه بالإيمان ويعلم أنه إن هلك دخل النار فلا تقر عينه وهو يعلم أن حبيبه في النار وأنها للتي قال الله والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين. This hadith is a very lengthy hadith from the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Like we said, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from Bishr ibn Muhammad, who reported it from Abdullah, from Safwan ibn Amr, who said, حدثني Abdurrahman ibn Jubair ibn Nufayl. Abdurrahman ibn Jubair ibn Nufayl. And Abdurrahman reported it from his father, Jubair ibn Nufayl. So the tabi'i of this hadith is who? Jubair ibn Nufayl. Jubair ibn Nufayl, rahimahullah, said once, Jalasna ila al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. We sat in the companionship, in the company of Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad was from amongst the first people who embraced Islam. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, Abu al-Aswad, radiyallahu anhu, was from amongst the first people who embraced Islam. And it was reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, that he was also from amongst the first persons who announced their Islam to the public in Makkah. He was also mentioned from amongst the people who made the two hijras. They made hijrah to Ethiopia, Abyssinia. They also made hijrah to Medina. Radiallahu anhum. So he was from amongst the fourth companions who accepted Islam from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this shows how the Tabi'un respected and took the companions. Whenever they found a companion, they wanted to sit near them so that they could tell them something from amongst what they have heard or from amongst the events that they had witnessed during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So on that day, Jubair ibn Nufayr was amongst the people who were seated with Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. So he said, Jalasna ila al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad yawma. So one day we were sitting with Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Famarra bihi rajul. A man passed by us in that gathering, faqala, and then said, Tuba li hatayn al-aynayn. Tuba. May these two eyes be blessed. He was referring to Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Tuba li hatayn. May these two eyes be blessed. Which eyes are those? Allatayn ra'ata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These two eyes that had seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May they be blessed. Wallahi. This man went on and said, he swore by Allah. Lawadidna anna ra'ayna ma ra'ayta. We wish that we had seen. We desire that we had seen what you saw. Subhanallah. This Tabi'i was telling the companion Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, I wish that I saw what you saw. Radiallahu anhu. Wa shahidna ma shahidta. I wish that we witnessed what you witnessed. You witnessed what they witnessed? These people witnessed the punishment of the people of Makkah. These people witnessed a siege. These people witnessed abandonment for about 2 to 3 years in Makkah. These people witnessed a lot of punishment from the hands of Mushrikun. But what this Tabi'i was saying, Rabbi Rahimahullah, was the fact that they were with the Prophet. But being with the Prophet was not just all about being easy. It was a situation that required them to stand very firmly for Iman and firmly against Kufr and Shirk. It was not a very, very easy situation all through. Except the fact that people usually only remember the good things of a situation. رضي الله عنه. So he said, وَاللَّهِ لَوَدِدْنَا أَنَّا رَأَيْنَا مَا رَأَيْتَا وَشَهِدْنَا مَا شَهِدْتَا. We desire that we would have seen what you saw and witnessed what you witnessed. Fastughdiba, this companion became so annoyed. Radiallahu anhu. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, when he heard that man make that statement, he became annoyed. This is evidence that a learned person may hear a statement from a person and then he goes annoyed. The learned person may hear a statement from an individual and then he goes annoyed. Fastughdiba, Miqdad ibn al-Aswad became annoyed. Faja'altu a'jabu. Jubair ibn Nufayr said, I began to wonder. Ma qala illa khayra. This man had not said anything except something that is good. May these two eyes who had seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may they be blessed. These two eyes, may they be blessed. Ah, we wish that we saw what you saw. Wa shahidna ma shahidta. We wish that we were witnesses to what you witnessed. This Tabi'i, Jubair ibn Nufayr, felt that he had not said anything except what is good. Summa akbala alayhi faqala. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad then turned to that man and said, Ma yahmilu al-rajul. ما يحمل الرجل على أن يتمنى مخبرا غيبه الله عنه. What has made this man أن يتمنى, that he now begins to crave, he now begins to desire مخبرا events, he now begins to desire situations, he now begins to desire circumstances that Allah had made him the absent from. Why are you desiring a situation that Allah has not brought you in? Why are you desiring a situation that Allah has not brought you into? Many times these kinds of things happen. When people narrate events to us and we are not there, we begin to say, ah, I wish I was there. I would have done this. I would have done this. This is a lesson for us. Don't desire to be in a situation that Allah has protected you away from. Don't desire to be in that situation. Allah has taken you away. Say, Alhamdulillah. Don't begin to say, oh, I wish I was there. I would have fought. I would have done this. He said, radiyallahu anhu, مَا يَحْمِلُ الرَّجُلَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَتَمَنَّى مُحْطَرًا غَيَّبَهُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. What is it that has pushed this man? أَنْ يَتَمَنَّى مُحْطَرًا. For him to begin to desire to be in a circumstance that Allah has made him be absent from. لَا يَدْرِي. He wouldn't know. لَوْ شَهِدَهُ كَيْفَ يَكُونَ. He wouldn't know if he had witnessed it, how would it have been? If you had witnessed the circumstance in Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to announce Islam, do you know whether you would have accepted? Do you know whether you would have rejected? If you desire that, oh, I would have been in Badr, I would have fought behind the Prophet. It is at that time that you would have known where you would have belonged to. Whether you would be behind Abu Jahl and the rest of them amongst Mushrikun, or you would be with the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and the rest of them. You can't say that. You don't know where you will belong into. Wallahi, Miqdad ibn al-Aswad said, I swear by Allah, لَقَدْ حَضَرَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَقْوَى. There were some of the people who saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. كَبَّهُمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنَاحِرِهِمْ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. Allah turned them. Allah will certainly turn them on their faces in the ground into Jahannam. They will be dragged on their faces into Jahannam. Why? They saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they rejected him. So Miqdad ibn al-Aswad said, Lam yujibuhu. They did not answer the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa lam yusaddiquhu. They did not affirm the message that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is common even amongst the relatives of the Prophet. Were they all Muslims? Did Abu Talib accept Islam before he died? He did not. Despite the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat with him, even at the point of death was with him, encouraging him, my uncle, accept Islam, don't die upon shirk. The man still died upon the religion of his people. This was a man who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remember when I was in the university, one of the brothers used to say this a lot, that he wished that he was a companion. At that time, I did not know whether I know this hadith. But it used to come to my mind that, do you know whether you would have been like Abu Jahl? When he said, oh, I wish I would have been amongst the companions so that, I used to say, oh, some people saw the Prophet, but they did not believe in him. Look at the case of Abu Talib. He not only saw the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he believed that the deen of Islam is the best, is the only thing that human beings should be upon. Yet he did not accept Islam. He preferred to follow his friends. And he was a supporter. He was not an enemy of Islam. How about those who saw the Prophet and were his enemies? How about Abu Lahab, who was even from amongst the relatives of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam? The lesson in this is that when Allah removes you from an event, don't be desiring to be there. Because you don't know what you would have become in that circumstance. May Allah protect all of us. Don't say, oh, I wish I lived in the time of the Prophet. I would have loved to see the Prophet. Yes, you would have loved to see the Prophet, but your seeing the Prophet would only be beneficial if you had accepted Islam and if you had affirmed the message of Islam. So merely seeing the Prophet was not beneficial to those who saw him and fought him. May Allah protect all of us. So this companion was correcting his students. That's why some of the scholars have deduced from this hadith that when a student says something that is wrong in the public and the teacher hears it, he should make good efforts to correct that impression from that student. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad continued and said, أَوَلَا تَحْمَدُونَ اللَّهَ Should you not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala إِذْ أَخْرَجَكُمْ When he has created you, he made you become believers. لَا تَعْرِفُونَ إِلَّا رَبَّكُمْ You came in a circumstance where shirk had gone. In your community, you hardly found anyone upon shirk. أَخْرَجَكُمْ Allah brought you at a time. لَا تَعْرِفُونَ إِلَّا رَبَّكُمْ You do not know anything except Allah. Are you not happy? I remember a father who used to say to his son, that if you knew me at the time I was upon shirk, that his own shirk was so highly upon shirk. But that, don't worry, you are lucky. I gave birth to you when I had accepted La ilaha illallah. This is like the statement of this companion. So you should be happy that you did not witness the time of shirk. You were born at a time that it is all about tawheed. فَتُصَدِّقُونَ بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ نَبِيُّكُمْ You were born at a time that you don't know anything except Allah subhanahu. You don't know the worship of anything except the worship of Allah. So it would be easy for you to صَدِّقُونَ بِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ نَبِيُّكُمْ It was easy for you because you don't know any shirk. You don't know jahiliyyah. It was possible for you to easily accept what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had brought. قَدْ كُفِيتُمُ الْبَلَاءَ بِغَيْرِكُمْ The major trials and tribulation that comes along with faith, you had been protected from that by others. Others were used for that trial. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad faced that trial. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud faced that trial. On the day when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud went near the Kaaba to announce Islam, he was beaten to pulp. Today you come on the minaret, on the masajid, and you shout out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. At that time when they did it, they were beaten to a pulp. They faced a situation where they were hungry. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said they did not find anything to eat. They had to go into the desert to look for leaves that animals eat to eat. Such that when they ate it, the entirety of their gums and their mouth will be bleeding. They did not find anything. Allah used these people to protect you. These people stood firm upon Iman. You were not there. By the time you came, it was Iman on the ground. There was Tawheed on the ground, so it was easy for you to accept the Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah used those people. Why do you desire that you want to go back to become like them? When you were brought in a situation and circumstance that is different from that. Wallahi laqad buitha an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad said, I swear by Allah, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had been raised in a situation ashad bihalin buitha alayha nabiyyun qattu, in the most difficult of circumstances that any prophet of Allah would have been raised. It was in a difficult situation. Fi fatratin wa jahiliyyatin. In a period that for over about 600 years, no messenger had come. وَجَاهِلِيَّةٍ The people were far away from divine guidance. مَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّ دِينًا أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ At a time that the people do not view any religion as anything of value except the worship of idols. This was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam This was a circumstance in which he was raised as a messenger to invite the people to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَجَاءَ بِفُرْقَانٍ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now came with a furqan, a means of recognizing truth and falsehood. فَفَرَّقَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ This means this criterion to realize what is truth and what is falsehood, the Quran and Islam in its entirety, the Prophet brought it. So by that, during the time of Jahiliyyah, when the people were far away from guidance, revelation came, and then the means of recognizing truth away from falsehood came to mankind. So that caused a situation where the people were divided into two, the people who will stick to the truth and the people who will stick to falsehood. And this was not upon anything. It was just upon as Allah willed it that some people will see the truth and recognize it as the truth and stand by it even if their lives were lost, male and female. And then some people will still stay upon falsehood and be ready to die for that falsehood. in any circumstance that standing for falsehood will bring. So he said, Faja'a bi furqanin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a criterion to recognize truth from falsehood. فَفَرَّقَ بِهِ. The Prophet employed this criterion, بين الحق والباطل, to distinguish between the truth and falsehood. وَفَرَّقَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْوَالِدِ وَوَلَدِهِ. The Quran also became a means of separating between the father and the child. How was the Quran separating between the father and the child? Any one of them who stuck to the truth became from amongst the people of the truth. And the one who rejected the truth became from amongst the people of Baathil. That criterion now, Iman brought about separation between the father and the child. He brought about separation between brother and sister. We remember in the family of Umar radiallahu anhu, how his sister was said to have accepted Islam before him. And that later brought Umar himself to Islam. So in this circumstance, the himself and his sister would have become different from their parents. Why? They saw the truth, recognized the value and the treasure in the truth, and they stuck to it, while the rest of the other people stood firm upon evil. And therefore, that criterion became a means of distinguishing between people, people of truth, people of falsehood. So sometimes the father will be from amongst the people of the truth, and the son will be from amongst the people of falsehood. Sometimes the son will be from amongst the people of falsehood, and the father will be from amongst the son will be from amongst the people of truth. The father will be from amongst the people of falsehood. The husband could be from amongst the people of truth. The wife could remain upon falsehood. The elder brother could be from amongst the people of the truth, and the younger one will be from amongst the people of the falsehood. The uncle could be amongst the people of the truth, and so on. So he divided the people based upon accepting the truth and rejecting the truth. He divided them into two. فَرَّقَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْوَالِدِ وَوَلَدِهِ. He divided it using the Quran between and the truth as the means between the parents and their children. حَتَّى to such a situation that إِنْ كَانَ الرَّجُلُ لَا يَرَى وَالِدَهُ. The situation became such that an individual will see his father, أو ولده, or the father will see the son, أو أخاه, a brother will see his brother, كافران, this my brother is a kafir, oh this my sister is a kafir, oh this my uncle is a kafir, I'm mu'min, I'm a follower of Muhammad. In the case of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas that we had related, it was between mother and son, oh this my mother, I love her, but unfortunately she's a kafir. In the case of Abu Huraira, it was between mother and son. This my mother, I love her, I want her, and all of those. But this is kafira. In the case of Asma ibn to Abi Bakr ibn Siddiq, it was between the daughter and the mother. And so on, so that divide came naturally as a result of following the truth or rejected the truth. So this son will see his brother, his sister, his uncle as kufar. وَقَدْ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ كُفْلَ قَلْبِهِ بِالْإِيمَانِ. While in his own circumstance, Allah had opened up kufla qalbihi. The locks of his own heart had been opened up by iman. وَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ إِنْ هَلَكَ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. And he was so certain, this man upon iman would be so certain that if his father died, he would go into Jahannam. The father will be so certain that if his son died, he will go into Jahannam upon kufur. The sister will be so sure that if her brother died, he will go into Jahannam. The brother will be so certain that this my sister, if he dies, she is going to Jahannam. This was the circumstance of the companions at the time. فَلَا تَقَرُّ أَيْنُهُ. In that circumstance, there will not be قُرَّةُ الْأَيْنِ. So his eyes will not be comforted. He is a Muslim, mu'min father, and the son is a kafir. So the father will not be comforted, he will not be happy, he will not be delighted that his own son is upon kufur. So this point of reference is where we have come to in this hadith. When he sees his son upon other than iman, then his eyes will not be comforted. That son stops to become from qurratu ayn for his father. Why? The father wanted a son that will be upon iman. It means what makes a child to be qurratul ayn for the parents is what? Iman and ta'atul rahman. What makes a child to be qurratul ayn for the father is what? Iman, believing Allah, and ta'atul Rahman, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about beauty, it's not about handsomeness, it's not about luxury, it's not about the car that the boy can drive. No, this is not what should make a child to be Qurratul Ayn. What makes a child to be Qurratul Ayn is that that child is a muti'ullah, is the person who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Parents, note this point. What makes your child to be a comfort of the eye for you is that your son is a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the companions, when they saw a child who was upon kufr, they are not happy. So that child starts to become a Qurratul Ayn for them. This is our point of reference in this hadith. He said, وَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ إِنْ هَلَكَ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. This mu'min will be so certain that if his mother died, she will go to Jahannam. If her father died, he will go into Jahannam. فَلَا تَقَرُّ أَيْنُهُ. That will now make him not become Qurratul Ayn for the son. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ حَبِيبَهُ فِي النَّارِ. Because he is so certain that whenever his father dies upon kufur, he will be upon Jahannam. And he will be in Jahannam. And those who already died upon kufur, they are in Jahannam. There is no explanation to that. So this does not make the child happy. If it were a parent, it does not make the parent happy. It does not make the mother happy. It does not make the father happy. He's so sad. Why? The child died upon kufur. So the child stops to become from Qurratul Ayn. He said, this is what Allah was saying in that verse when he said, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. This is what Allah is talking about. That the Qurratul Ayn for the individual is the child that is upon piety. So for us as parents, our main goal should be that our children are upon Iman. It is when our children are upon faith and obedience to Allah that we can say we are happy, we are delighted, our eyes are comforted with these children. This is the meaning of this hadith, and that is the reason for which it was placed under this chapter heading. Our children will only be Qurratul Ayn for us when they are upon obedience to Allah. It means the greatest of our efforts upon our children must be that these children are upon servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think we can stop here because of time. We are on the dot of the hour now, Abba Yusuf.
Naam, ya Shaykhana. Salawatu wa alaykum, ya Shaykhana.
Ameen wa alayk. We can take one or two questions, Abba Yusuf.
This one says, when is love for a child turned excessive, and is there any age limit to carry out this beloved act of carrying our child on shoulder?
The love for a child becomes excessive if it prevents us from servitude to Allah, or it leads us to sin. The love for a child becomes excessive if it prevents us. Because you love your child, it doesn't make you observe salah. Doesn't make you wear hijab. The love for a child becomes excessive and blameworthy when it makes us commit sins, when it brings us into disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you as a mother. Your child begins to tell you he wants to go to a cinema to watch a film. Why? His friend in the school had told him about how he went to the cinema. And the cinema will just be a mixture of Muslims and non-Muslims. In fact, the large majority will be non-Muslims. And the bulk of what will happen in the cinema hall will be things that Allah has prohibited. Don't take that your child out of love for him to that cinema. These are things that are common now. So you should avoid these kinds of things. When the love of your child makes you commit a sin, it shows that that love is now unnecessarily excessive. And it is blameworthy and not praise worthy at all. And the age to place the child on the shoulder is as much as you can do it. Of course, when the boy becomes mature at 13, 14, it may be difficult to do that. But you can still hug that child. As an individual, I used to be hugged by my father when I returned from school. My father would hug me. He wouldn't tell me to kneel down or lie down. That's why when I meet an elderly person who wants me to kneel down, I laugh. I said, God, my father wouldn't do that. So I show good respect, but I don't kneel down or bow down or bend down to anybody. When I return from a journey, my father will shake my hand, and then he will hug me and beat my back. At the time, I was already in the university. So if a child becomes matured, we can do that to him. As we shake our brothers, oh, brother, Furazak, Abu, Taymiyah, Abu, Fulan, we shake them, we hug them. Do that to your son. Do that to your son. May Allah protect us all. Now, Maba,
you see.
I think we can stop here. Do you want to take a question more?
No, I just want to read this one. Yeah, Shifana.
Okay, bismillah.
This one says, the statement of the people who regret that they were born in a country like Nigeria, is it like the statement of those who wish they lived at the time of the prophet?
Yes, it is not appropriate that where Allah has blessed you. Allah blessed you here. So it's like rejecting a qadar. You did not choose to come to Nigeria. So why do you reject that you are in Nigeria? This is what Allah has given you. There are some illnesses that you as a Nigerian, as a black, as a person with our color, there are illnesses we are not predisposed to the way the people of other races are predisposed to it. Our weather is so normal. In some parts of the world now, there are heavy downfall of snow. In Japan last week, a number of people had died out of a cold and severe cold. In Canada, in many places in the world, these conditions are there. But here in Nigeria, we are feeling the weather is so cool and nice now. In Nigeria, we have all that it takes in terms of mineral resources. We have crude oil, we have gold, we have all that it takes. So what is the regret about that? This is the choice of your Lord for you. What remains for you is that to become obedient to Allah in that circumstance. It is not about saying, oh, I regret that I had come from America. Are there no non-Muslims in America that will die and Allah will punish them in Jahannam? And are there no mu'minun in Nigeria who will die and Allah will admit into Al-Jannah? Because inna akramukum inna Allahi askakum. Those the people of value with Allah are the people of piety, not necessarily the people of comfort and luxury. Allahu alam. I think we can stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I mean...